Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
It is time for Dear Science. Thank you, MOTAT, as always. Ebola drugs, or successful Ebola drugs,
we're
talking about first.
So you may have heard that there is a pretty big outbreak in the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, right now.
Is this a continuation of an outbreak from a few years ago?
No, this is brand new. So this is the second worst ever. The one in West Africa, I think a few years ago, was the worst. But this has already infected nearly 3,000 people with Ebola. And about almost 2,000 of those have died. So,
wow.
I mean, Ebola, as you probably know, is pretty horrible. And there's a very, very high chance that if you get it, you will not survive. There's all sorts of problems in the area, distrust of doctors and a lot of violence means that the virus has spread quite a lot. And so there is some good news, though. So there's a couple of new Ebola drugs have been proven to be very, very effective in clinical trials. The researchers are going to try and make the treatments available to anyone who is infected with the virus in the DRC. And what the results show is that people who receive the drug soon after they're infected, so if they get in straight away, receive the drug, survival levels were greater than 90%.
Wow.
Which is a hell of a lot better than less than 50%. Mm.
So what are we talking about in terms of these drugs?
So these are a cocktail. So one of them is a cocktail. It's called REGN-EB3, catchy name, but it's a cocktail of three monoclonal antibodies against Ebola made in the States. The second one is derived from a single antibody that was recovered from the blood of a person who survived Ebola, an Ebola outbreak in the DRC in 95. And that's also been developed in the States. Both of the drugs outperform other experimental treatments, and hopefully, if they can get them out in the field, it will make a big difference.
Right. That second one, then, is essentially a vaccine? Is that kind of the way it works?
I think so, yeah. But there is some data from, preliminary data from the first, I think, nearly 500 people enrolled in a study that said that 29% that were given the first drug died, compared with 34% who received the second drug who died. But by contrast, 53% of the patients who received a different antiviral drug died, and another treatment of 49%. Who received another treatment died. So this is counting people who had Ebola for a while and who obviously had much higher viral loads. It's not 100% successful, but it's a hell of a lot better than what we've had before.
Are you clear on what actually Ebola does? Can you explain that or?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, it's a very virulent infection. It's obviously viral, and I think it causes fevers and hemorrhaging, and ultimately, I think in a lot of cases, death.
And it's essentially attacking your immunity?
I don't know.
Okay. Something we should maybe look into.
Yeah.
Next story for today, e-cigarettes, which I guess being proposed as a better option to smoking?
Yeah, I think so. You walking around Auckland, you see a lot of people with these little devices. And
actually, yeah, e-cigarette looks like a cigarette. Cause is this different to a vape?
No, I think this is, the same sort
the
of
the same
idea.
Sort yeah. of okay, mechanical smoking.
yeah,
with
that's right.
Some kind of liquid. Sometimes.
Yeah, so I think they're becoming increasingly popular as an alternative to regular old-fashioned cigarettes. Because there is this idea that they're not going to kill you, or they're less of a chance that it will be harmful.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a report that's come out recently. So 8 teens in Wisconsin in the States were recently hospitalized because they were so short of breath that they were in trouble, And the cause of their lung injuries is still not, you know, clear, but they all had one thing in common. They were all, you know, regular vapors, or they were vaped. I don't know what the...
regular vapors will do.
Yeah, okay. And they'd been doing it a lot in the months before they went into the hospital. And they needed a lot of support. And this highlights or emphasizes some studies that have already been done on vaping. There's not a lot out there. But studies have reported more chronic respiratory symptoms and severe asthma symptoms in adolescents who vape versus those who don't.
Okay.
Is that because they're using more? Or is that because they're using vapes more than... Are they...
Like they use the vape in a higher frequency more regularly smoking. Because...
Why is that?
Well, this is... So these kids are not... They're not smoking normal cigarettes. This is
okay,
compared
so
to...
Okay, so we don't have data of them...
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think there's... Like I said, I think there's sort of limited data. There's a study in 2017... about 2,000 11th and 12th graders in Southern California. They used e-cigarettes, had about twice the risk of having symptoms such as coughing, congestions, wheezing, bronchitis, things like that, compared to those who hadn't used the products.
So it's when essentially, if you're ingesting any type of chemicals, it's going to damage your respiratory system in some way?
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
Yes, and you're inhaling you know, a cocktail of chemicals, and some of those can cause inflammation in the lungs, and that can cause these sort of injuries. So vaping, you know, the chemicals in vaping are quite varied. There's nicotine, of course, and nicotine is sort of the active thing that people are wanting to get a little high with. But nicotine by itself can impair the ability of lung cells to clear mucus and foreign particles. And by doing that, that leads to sort of chronic respiratory symptoms. And also, you know, there's all of these solvents and liquids and flavors.
And
you know,
you can
walk past a cloud of vape smoke and you can smell whatever.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And many of those haven't been tested for safety.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't know whether they're carcinogenic. So they can cause cancer. And also heating these things and aerosolizing them, making them into a sort of a fine spray, can also change the chemicals inside them. And those haven't been tested, and they could also be carcinogenic.
So there's lots of steps in the process that could be dangerous and we don't know yet.
Absolutely, yeah. So this vaping is definitely on the rise. From 2017 to 2018, e-cigarette use reported by teens rose 78% in the States.
Wow.
That's from 11.7% to 20.8%, I guess, of teens in that age of teens that were vaping regularly. And so there's now a whole generation of adolescents who wouldn't have smoked normal regular cigarettes are now getting introduced to nicotine through vaping.
Right.
And the long-term consequences aren't really known.
We're not sure yet.
Yeah.
I guess that's been the case in the world a lot, though, when things get tried out for the first time, right? You don't know what's going to happen,
right.
And then it's...
That's right.
That's up to them. Another thing that has been mentioned about vaping, and I don't know a lot about this, but wet lung, if anybody knows about that, let us know. Because it's, you're breathing in liquids, and it's this idea of...
Yeah. Well, I think the solvent, so the actual, the liquid themselves, that's not the flavors, but the actual base solvent that's used in these, when they're heated, these are propylene glycol and glycerin. They also contribute to the toxicity, and they can cause inflammation in the lungs as well.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, cats.
Cats.
Why do cats eat grass? Marcus, so, please tell us.
Apparently, I'm not a cat owner, but I think you are or have been.
I have been, yes.
Yeah. Although you told me that you haven't seen this, but apparently cats eat grass. Cats do a lot of weird things, but cats eat grass.
Well, that's what I mean. I think cats eat lots of things.
Yeah, often they, you know, it's observed they eat a bit of grass and they throw it up a few minutes later, and it's not really clear why, but. Maybe we figured this one out. So,
because I'm sure there were many people wondering.
This is a big question. Don't get me wrong. So there was a survey of about 1,000 cat owners. This is an internet survey. And they spend at least 3 hours a day watching or hanging out with their pets. this was the requirement. Anyway,
oh,
so
this is something they had to do for the test.
They had to be to be eligible.
Okay, you
laugh.
Yeah. Okay.
So 71% of the animals were caught in the act at least six times in their lifetime. So they're basically
really
people. About 71% of people saw their cats eat grass at some point.
In those lifetime. 3 hours over this.
Well, in the cat's lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a thing that's been observed anyway. And so there's lots of explanations. If you search online, why is my cat eating grass? There's lots of explanations.
Google searches about this. I wonder how. Okay, sorry.
I'm sure there are. And about a quarter of the people who observe their cats eating grass observe them vomiting that up afterwards. And the vast majority said their cats didn't really appear sick before they started eating the grass. So this seems to be
directly
a thing that healthy cats might do.
Oh.
Yeah. So what the researchers found is that vomiting is actually just a byproduct, occasional byproduct of eating the grass. It's not really the objective. And they think that eating grass or plants in general is instinctual. And this is sort of interesting because they've figured it out that it comes with an evolutionary benefit to cats, or at least it used to. And the theory is that the eating grass helps animals expel parasites, intestinal parasites, because it increases muscle activity in the digestive tract. So as the cats are trying to digest the grass or plant matter or whatever, increases the muscle activity, and apparently that can expel parasites.
So we were talking before the show started about how dogs do that, and mm-hmm. they eat grass when they're sick. Would that be along a similar kind of vein?
It may be. I mean, I used to have a dog, and he tended to eat grass when he was sick and then make himself vomit.
So they're doing it deliberately to get rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
Not just to piss you off.
Yeah. Well, at least they used to, because this probably evolved, you know, eons ago, and the problem is they don't really have these parasites anymore. So modern cats don't suffer from this same affliction
as
ancient cats did. And so, you know, it's an instinctual behavior, but it's probably not necessary. The advice to cat owners is buy or cultivate some indoor grass for your pet to chew on, so it can satisfy its instinctual urges.
Right.
And it means that, you know, it's got a safe source of grass. It doesn't eat some poisonous plant or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And if your cat throws up, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't trying to do it out of spite. Probably.
It just can't actually digest it.
It's just relying on its instinct.
But
it
comes from an evolutionary. Like, wow,
yeah.
That is fascinating. I've just googled why do cats eat grass, and there are 37,700,000 results.
Yeah.
So this is definitely a well-researched topic.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marcus.
Cool.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Mind blown. That was Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.